He does better than them. I don't quite understand that. I'm a little surprised. But he actually polls better than all of the people that you're talking about. And so they don't want to take him off. It depends. Maybe I'm better off losing the debate. I'll make sure he says I'll lose the debate on purpose. Maybe I'll do something like that. You know, but he really, I mean, it's very interesting. I've been asked this question. If he does badly, will they take him off the ticket? I don't think so. And let's say he gets through, they'll make it, like I watched his State of the Union, and you did, and I've watched other speeches. Every time he gets through a speech, they say what a great speech it was. They were not great.
No.
They were not great.
Most of them are terrible. Most of them are terrible.
All I can do is do the best you can. You can't hold back. You have to do what you have to do.
Sure.
And if they keep him good and they don't keep him. But isn't it strange that he seems to poll better than the people that
To me, that's
about.
Remarkable. I mean, we see him on the world stage. We see him here
at
home.
It's remarkable, too.
It's remarkable that he polls better. Shocking, really. I want to shift gears a little bit. I understand you're going to be meeting with Mitch McConnell for the first time in quite a while together. And together, you two got three vacancies filled in the Supreme Court. So you did some great work that was really important and has been ever since you left office. The question is, can you do it again? And what is going to be your message behind closed doors with these Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, on Capitol Hill?
We have to stick together, and we cannot let them weaponize the Justice Department, the FBI, against Republicans, conservatives, Catholics. I don't know what it is with Catholics, but they're really after Catholics. And, you know, maybe you know better than I do, but something happened. But they're after groups of people, Christians generally, and we have to make sure they cannot be allowed to weaponize. And basically, the Republicans have to say, "Sure, look, we've been very unified. I won quickly. I won quicker than anybody's ever won in terms of the nomination.
Right.
I won quickly, decisively. We have tremendous support, much more support than even in 20. You know, 20 was great, and 16 was great. 16, we won. 20, we got millions of more votes. We won. But we have much more support. And I think even more enthusiasm. And I think a big factor there is we've seen the worst president in history. Jimmy Carter was a genius president by comparison to Biden.
And how frightening is that? Okay, I want to shift. That is a frightening comment, by the way. I lived through the 70s, as did you. Not a pleasant time. On the world stage.
Did you ever think you'd see it?
I didn't see it. I mean, I grew up outside Lansing, Michigan. Factories are closing. Families were losing their homes. Yeah. They were on the streets. I mean, it was the first time I really saw homelessness in my life. Jimmy Carter was in the White House. It was a scary time when I was a kid. All right, on the world stage.
Well, we're going to have that again, by the way. You know, your auto workers, I don't know if you know, China's building plants in Mexico right
That's
now.
That's right.
And your auto workers are going to be all out of jobs very soon. And whoever this guy Payne is, he ought to get out. He's a horrible union leader. To allow this country to go all electric cars, knowing that they're going to be made in China, because that's where the material is.
It is.
They're much more expensive for people. They don't go far. And to allow that to be, I think, by 2030, he wants half of the cars, and it's going to be a lot more than that. That people don't want them. People have to have a choice. Let them buy electric if they want. I think it's great.
You just
they
mentioned
don't go far. They're not going to be made in Michigan.
But this is how smart they are, if I may. I just read an article here in Michigan. They're moving forward with the idea of not just having EVs. They want the boats, the recreational power boats, to be EVs too. I mean, do they not learn their lesson? It's insanity, isn't it?
You know, the batteries are too heavy for boats.
Right.
The boats don't float. You know, minor things like that.
Things like that. The boats don't float because they weigh too much. I will have more with President Donald Trump in the next hour here on the Steve Gerber Show. Follow us on X and Rumble and so forth. You can catch the next part of this interview, which, by the way, was recorded last night, 7:30 p.m. I'll be with the president on Saturday in Detroit as well. A lot going on. This is the Steve Gerber Show.
The pandemic has made it clear, if you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com, GruberHealth.com.
In the military, your buddies were your lifeline. But transitioning to civilian life can be difficult. it's easy to feel alone. That's when your lifeline can be the Veterans Crisis Line. We're here 24/7 to listen, to understand what you're going through, and to connect you to support. We've got your six. Dial 988, then press 1. Sponsored by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
There's this place, a place where everyone is just beautiful, where everyone is thin, healthy, and in fantastic shape. It's a place where the beautiful people can eat whatever they want, whenever they want, and never gain weight. Where pro basketball players slam dunk chicken nuggets, hard-bodied supermodels supersize their soft drinks, thousands of weight loss diets guarantee you'll shed those stubborn pounds in days. Don't believe us? Just flip on your TV, look up at a billboard, or scroll through your social media feed for proof that everyone and everything here is just perfect. Where is here, you ask? Well, welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visit OBECITY.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Other individuals that were key in the success of what happened yesterday in America. Michael Whatley and Lara Trump. Michael Whatley running the RNC, Lara Trump deeply and heavily involved. I say that because there are a lot of games played in places like Pennsylvania and Arizona, and they are on it right there. Unlike 4 years ago, there were lawyers available. There were consultants available. There were hundreds of thousands of real Americans spread out across this country to make sure that games couldn't be played and cheating wouldn't be tolerated. And by God, the RNC has come a long way, hasn't it? The RNC has come a long way, hasn't it? So I tip my hat. You know what? Do something with me right now. Stop and pay attention. Stop and pay attention with me. I want you to do something with me right now. I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's a remarkable morning. I'm glad I could share it with you. I'm glad I was able to share that on the radio stations we're on Real America's Voice. I tip my hat to Rob Sigg and Parker Sigg, who took a small network and a gamble and put their noses down and fought for this country. I'm glad I could be part, a small part of that. Real people putting it on the line to do what's right. To do what's right. God bless America. What a good day. Follow us on Twitter, at Steve Rivers Show. Be part of this movement. It's a movement, folks. Look what's happening. We are winning.
Peace, y'all. This is Common, and I'm passionate about helping the black community learn about lung cancer, a disease that disproportionately affects us, which is why I'm here with Stand Up to Cancer, to bring you the facts. Fact. In the United States, over 25,000 black men and women are diagnosed with lung cancer each year. Fact, our community is more likely to develop advanced lung cancer than any other racial or ethnic group. Fact, lack of access to health care, lack of clear resources for help, and mistrust in the medical system are not helping us beat this. Fact, lung cancer continues to be the leading cause of cancer deaths among black men and women. But there is a way for us to take back control of our health and change things. Learn all that you can about you or a loved one's diagnosis and treatment options. Get more information on lung cancer, screening, and clinical trials by visiting standuptocancer.org/lungcancer. Together, we can bring about real change. Because fact, change is possible, and it starts with you.
Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley welcoming you back to Susan's cubicle here in Accounts Payable. What an afternoon of nonstop bookkeeping action, Charles. Are you kidding me? She set herself a reminder to get out of that chair and move.
That's a smart use of a timeout.
She's somehow still reading her emails while getting her heart rate up and moving her muscles. Healthy habits that could lower your risk of cancer.
Uh-oh, it's Karen from the IT department.
This is a wrinkle no one saw coming. She means well, but she just derailed the yoga class down in accounts receivable.
There she goes with one of her usual distractions.
But Susan just tosses her a no-look wave.
That's a crazy move.
Let's watch that again. She's stretching, and there's the effortless side wave.
Susan's putting on a clinic.
Susan from Accounts Payable, dominating. Just get moving. It helps in the prevention of so many cancers.
Stand up to cancer and Optum want to help you reduce your risk for cancer. Visit TakeAHealthyStand.org.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Watch out, folks. There's a new city that never sleeps. It's called Obesity, USA. Population, 115 million, and getting bigger by the day and night. Because in Obesity, USA, there are so many reasons to stay awake. Things like work, constant access to technology and media, job hunting, lack of exercise, bills, anxiety, insomnia, hypertension, diabetes, stress eating, fat shaming, and more work. It's no wonder 1 in 3 people in Obesity USA can't sleep. But who would want to when the fast food restaurants are open all night, too? Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visitobecity.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, an RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. It felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
I had an important job. And it wasn't just a job, it was keeping my brothers and sisters safe. And coming back, it felt like kind of thrown away. It's like you're useless. You know, we don't really have a need for you now because you can't really do anything for us. That's the way I felt. If it hadn't been for Wounded Warrior Project, I honestly don't know if I would be here. It was the camaraderie that I saw and had. It was like I got my family back again. We all felt the connection, you know, like that brother and sisterhood.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Donna by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
I felt nervous that I wouldn't have a family.
I was getting older and older. I didn't think I was going to get adopted.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi, Connor, and LaShawna now have a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
When I was adopted, it was like, wow, I get to settle, and this is permanent.
After I was adopted, I felt happy.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
Every child deserves a safe, loving, and permanent home. Help the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption find forever families for children who have been lingering in foster care the longest. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Studio G, big beautiful Studio G here, election 2024 results. Man, we're having a good day in here. Come on in. The water's warm. Come on in. Look, historic night. Esquire Bob finally got one right. He told me that Trump was going to win, but Esquire Bob, generally when he predicts something, it's just nowhere near. He's no Jimmy the Greek, I'll tell you that. Anyhow, I'm looking at the numbers now. We still have three states outstanding. Michigan, Arizona, Nevada. Michigan's going to get called here shortly. It's 100,000+ advantage. Michigan's coming in for Donald Trump. Right now, it's Trump-Vance 280. Harris-Walls 226, which is where they're going to end, I believe. That'll be it for them. Michigan 15 electoral votes, Arizona 11, Nevada is 6, so you'll add another 31. Is that what it is? 31 electoral votes yet? To 32, I guess. My math's a little off. 32. I'm tired. Look. So that'll happen. But what I didn't realize here, so I'm looking at Real Clear Politics, because yesterday here on the program, Mark Mitchell was here from Rasmussen. He stuck by, he said, look, it's a 2 to 3 point Trump lead nationally. That's what it is. And that's what it's been consistently. Well, guess what? Right now it's at 3.5 points. So the Republicans have won the White House. They've picked up 3 Senate seats so far. It looks like Pennsylvania could be called soon. Michigan, I think Mike Rogers is going to make it. And in Nevada, Sam Brown's real close. Eric Hovden in Wisconsin probably is going to fall just short. But that would bring you up to 55 Republican seats, 55. And Kerry Lake's not out either yet. It's possible you could see 56 come in. What a remarkable. But it also says the Republicans have picked up 3 seats in the House. All right. 3 seats in the House. Didn't realize that. I'm going to have to look closer at that. I mean, I know that Tom Barrett made it. A man who has become my friend over the last many years, Tom Barrett made it. So I tip my hat to Tom Barrett. So Alyssa Slotkin, her seat flips back red. It's my district, right? Flips back red. And it doesn't look like she's going to get the Senate seat, thankfully. Mike Rogers is going to be there, it looks like. And by the way, Ann Seltzer, remember 3 days ago? Was that what it was? The Des Moines Register comes out with this shock poll that Kamala Harris was winning Iowa by 3. And we're all like, that doesn't make any sense. Donald Trump won Iowa by 8, by 9. He won by like 13 points yesterday, all right? So the idea that somehow, she totally destroyed her own reputation. She previously had a reputation of being an excellent pollster. I'm going to go to Iowa and see what the final number is there. 14 points, actually. 56-42. 56. She said that Kamala Harris was ahead by 3. She lost by 14. You don't think these people put their thumb on the scale? I want to read something here. I want to read something here that that Ivy posted on social media yesterday. Because I think this speaks for a lot of people. And I saw this. I printed it out. I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but I printed this out, right? And so thought I'd read this. I proudly cast my vote for Donald J. Trump. I find it truly saddening that so many people fall for the legacy media BS Kool-Aid they pour down people's throats every day. I live and breathe news. It's my job. Don't fall for the propaganda lies. Take it from someone who's actually met and spoken with Donald J. Trump. He is kind and he is gracious. He cares deeply about this country and the future of our people. By the way, some a-hole trespassed on my property, took down my Trump signs, threw them in the woods, and replaced them with 6 Harris signs. Whoever did this also put Harris signs all over town and around Trump signs. The Democrat Party of Tolerance is the party of intolerance. They project everything they are doing and blame it on Republicans and Trump. Open your eyes. And then she added this, a quote, "Don't you see that the whole aim of newspeak is to narrow the range of thought? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible because there will be no words in which to express it." Well, there are today. I feel a new burst of hope, and I'm watching, now I'm going to be watching very closely. I'm going to be watching very closely, not the results anymore. Not the results anymore. What I want to see is what's happening in the U.S. House. That's the last thing. The last thing is the U.S. House. Atlas Intel, by the way. Nailed it. Rasmussen. Nailed it. Let's go to the presidential polls, shall we? Good idea, Steve. Let's do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Atlas Intel. In Michigan, Trump plus 2. That's about right. The Hill Emerson, wrong. In Wisconsin, Trump plus 1. Got a little bit farther than that, but that was Atlas Intel again. I'd like to see the national numbers. That's what I want to see here. So let me see if I can find those. because that's where I want to see where people did poorly. Atlas Intel, Trump plus one nationally. He won by 3.5 points. Rasmussen, the last poll from Mark Mitchell, Trump plus three. Trump's going to finish this plus three. The Wall Street Journal, Trump plus three. That was right. Rasmussen got it right. The only one. Every other poll, and let me read them to you just so you know who not to trust. Morning Consult had Harris plus two. Yahoo, Harris plus one. Forbes X, Harris plus two. Emerson, NBC News, tied. NPR, Harris plus four. The New York Post, tied. Ipsos, plus two. And Tip had it tied. Tip did have it at plus one earlier in the day. Well, guess what? The final margin of victory is going to be Trump by 3.5. Once again, because in the Real Clear Politics average, had Harris 0.1, leading 0.1. Donald Trump by 3.5. Once again, outperforms the polls. Hey, pollsters, Ann Seltzer, find a new job. This part of the program brought to you by Hillsdale College, where they are celebrating today. You can get a free pocket constitution at Hillsdale by going to gruberforhillsdale.com. I'll put this in the mail to you free of charge and no shipping either. Gruberforhillsdale.com. Never been more important to read the Constitution than it is today. Gruberforhillsdale.com. What a day. What a day to be alive. God bless America. Even Anthony's happy. What?
We can't see tomorrow, but we can hear it. And it sounds like peace of mind, knowing our lakes will be better protected by placing Line 5 in the Great Lakes Tunnel. And that we've added extra safety measures while we work to build it. Because we're committed to keeping the Great Lakes safe for generations to come. Tomorrow is on. Visit Enbridge.com/Line 5 for more information. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people. But anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, an RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. It felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
I haven't slept much in a couple of days, as you know, because I was at that Grand Rapids event that Donald Trump didn't leave the stage till what? After 2 in the morning. That was yesterday morning. Think about that. I didn't get any sleep. And then last night I was in Novi with, you know, and they didn't call Michigan yet. They're going to, though. 100,000 vote lead, more than 95% reporting. It's 100 and some thousand vote lead. It's over. Brian Reisinger is the author of Land Rich, Cash Poor, My Family's Hope, and the Untold Story of the Disappearing American Farmer. He grew up on a family farm in Sauk County, Wisconsin. Wisconsin already in the win column for Donald Trump again. The blue wall doesn't exist anymore. And in fact, those three states, though, they all vote together. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and farmers and farming. It's a big deal. And he joins me now. Ryan, nice to have you here.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, Wisconsin, the first of the blue wall states, or the second, I don't know when they called Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, doesn't matter. These are farm states, big agricultural states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, you know, this whole stretch, the Great Lakes region. And farmers, you know, have been, you know, losing ground, no pun intended, my entire life. And one of the things that punishes farmers, and I don't know what your book covers exactly, but one of the things that I know that punishes farmers is the inheritance tax, the death tax, because people are land rich but cash poor. So when the people that run the farm die, in order for their kids or grandkids to hang on to the farm, they have to pay massive amounts of taxes. Oftentimes they cannot, so the land gets sold off to developers or subdivisions or whatever else. That's right, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. Farmers, year after year, are finding it harder and harder to make a living. They have to grind it out. Gets worse and worse every year. Meantime, the land they have is worth something, so it's taxed at quite a bit. And if you want to sell it, you might be able to make a little bit of money. But the issue is, as you know, Steve, no farm family, if they can help it, wants to sell their land. They want to hold on to it because you lose your home, your community, your heritage when you sell the farm. So many of these farm families are just locked in a very deep, difficult economic problem.
Yeah, so they find, you know, in fact, see, this story for me goes back decades now. There was a farm. And I would have been a kid being, you know, 15 years older. But a big farm, couple, 200-300 acres, sat on the Red Cedar River, not far from where I grew up. And the kids were all very successful. You know, they had done very well for themselves. They didn't farm, but they were successful. And they wanted to take about 25 acres along the river there and donate it to the township or the county and build a park and put their name on it. You know, here's the park. And when they got the tax bill, that park went up and decided they couldn't do it. They couldn't, even though they had done well, they couldn't afford to pay the taxes. Because the, and so talk about government being short-sighted and completely myopic. Oh, but we'll get our taxes. And you take a park away from everybody who'd benefit. Those that are poor, those that are middle class, those that are wealthy. A park is forever. And they destroyed it in pursuit of the death tax. That's just one example. It's just so outrageous to me.
You're so right. Farms are in such a difficult, tight economic situation that passing the farm from one generation to the next is a very difficult situation. When you add into that the death tax on top of it, it can often make it completely unviable economically for the farm families. And by the way, this is land that was taxed all the life of the prior generation farming it. This is income that was made on the farm that was taxed all the prior generation for the folks that have been farming it. So it's been taxed over and over and over. And when suddenly there's a tragic death in the family, and that's the reason that the farm is getting passed from one generation to the next, they're taxed again. And it's often to a level that families can't sustain, and they have to sell the land or do something else with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems like, yeah, that's the way that is. Well, what do we do that? What has to happen in a new Trump administration? I don't know who your Secretary of Agriculture is going to be. It won't be Tom Vilsack anymore. I don't know who's going to write these ag bills. I don't know how many farms we turn into wind turbine operations anymore, because I think a lot of that stuff's going to get put where it belongs, which is back in the closet. What do you need in an ag bill to be competitive? I mean, I look at produce when I go into the supermarket, and I see it's from Peru and Mexico and Guatemala and Vietnam and everywhere else. And I don't have anything against those folks, but we can't compete there because we have the FDA and we have minimum requirements for salary and safety and OSHA and all these things. You guys do. You cannot compete with a farmer in Peru or Mexico. It's not possible. So what has to change?
Yeah, that's right. What we need overall is our government policy to find a way to create new opportunities for our farmers. We need new entrepreneurial opportunity that's lasting, so the farmers can be exploring new crops and new products, not just being locked into the old ways of having to do things. On the issue of trade, you're absolutely right. There's so many unfair trade standards. We have to be careful. We have to balance pursuing trade opportunities with making sure it's fair. We have to make sure that farmers don't get caught in the middle. But there are all kinds of countries that hold America to standards that we don't hold their farmers to. So, for instance, asparagus and blueberries coming out of Michigan, right, they aren't able to sell into all foreign countries all year round because, right, those countries say you can't do that in our prime season. But we allow that in America.
Yeah, I have a good friend who's a blueberry farmer, West Michigan. Best blueberries there are. He says he can't even get the local supermarkets like Meijer or Kroger to buy his produce because from Peru, they ship stuff up here for a fraction of the price, even though it's grown in a desert where they pump in water, and so the nutrition value is about, and the taste is about, and you know, trust me, I know, you know, but they got these big blueberries. They look great. They look like softballs, but they're not really worth much. Anyhow, I fight for the American farmer. I fight for you, Brian. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I really appreciate it. I hope that we're in a situation here where both parties can transform themselves and begin to focus on what farmers need economically. All farmers need is a fair shot. We've got the hardest working, most competitive, most resilient people in this country, and that's especially true in farm country. So if we can find a way to make sure that our government policy allows there to be opportunity for farmers, we can reverse this issue of having lost farms as long as we have. So I hope anybody who picks up Land Rich, Cash Poor, whether it's on Amazon or online or at a local bookstore, just helps us spread the word on these issues, because that's what we need to do, is keep the conversation going.
Amen. People need to be aware. And look at the labels, folks. The labels are there. Support American farmers. I ask you again, support America. Brian, thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, still coming up today. Kat Kamick, Congresswoman from Florida, will be here. Boy, did Florida light it up last night. Donald Trump won Florida by, what, 13 points? Good Lord. I'll be right back.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
See how it affects me. The Republicans had a big day in Michigan, where I am. From what I'm seeing, Republicans are poised to pick up 4 seats in the state house. Mr. Frisbee, who was on the program last week, one of those people. So congratulations. Looks like he's going to be a winner here. But I can't find the results in the state Senate. Can you imagine? I'm struggling to find the state Senate results. I can't seem to find them. Anyhow, a commissioner race in Eaton County decided by 8 votes. Let's see here. Did I have this one? I don't have Shaver on the list, do I? What do we have here? There could be more than I had here, apparently. Maybe it's five. Maybe it's five. It looks like Andy Shaver, who was on the program, doing well as well. I'm going to have to go back and look that up. Anyhow, really appreciate your support. Don't forget to support the great folks that support this program. Birch Gold, Patriot Mobile, The Wellness Company, Hillsdale, of course, Wolverine Water, Muskox. Don't forget to get your Muskox, the best flannel shirt you're ever going to own. Soft as butter, tough as steel. Yeah, I mean, the folks here, wear Anthony wears his, Sister Sarah wears hers, Ivy wears mine because she stole it. It is what it is. GoMuskox.com for the best flannel shirts you're ever going to own. GoMuskox.com for the best flannel shirts you're ever going to own. It is time, folks. It's fall, and I get to go hunting now. I finally get to go out in the woods. Don't forget, GoMuskox.com. It is a Michigan company, a Detroit-based company. You're going to love them. Yes, you are. I promise you. Yes, you are. I got to go look at this race now. Anyhow, good to have you. Who's coming up on the program, you ask? That's a fine question.
I got Don Brown here right now.
Don Brown will be here. Former U.S. Navy Judge Advocate General. We thought that a lot of this was going to end up in court. Doesn't end up in court when it's too big to rig. That's right. Carol Lieberman will be here. Ron Rademacher, Cheryl Fritz from Michigan News Source, and Kat Kamick, Congresswoman from Florida. Man, how do we do it? I have a great team, that's why. Starts with Anthony, by the way.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Watch out, folks. There's a new city that never sleeps. It's called Obesity USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day and night. Because in Obesity USA, there are so many reasons to stay awake. Things like work, constant access to technology and media, job hunting, lack of exercise, bills, anxiety, insomnia, hypertension, diabetes, stress eating, fat shaming, and more work. It's no wonder 1 in 3 people in Obesity USA can't sleep. But who would want to when the fast food restaurants are open all night, too? Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visitobesity.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Where can you find good information on all kinds of topics related to the well-being of our student-athletes? Check out the health and safety page of the MHSAA website. Learn about multi-sport participation, heat and hydration, cardiovascular resources, as well as insurance benefits available for our students. It's all on the health and safety page of MHSAA.com. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Scratching on my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
right, when it comes to all the illegal drugs flowing in, we know how many people are dying. 125,000 last year. They say 100. I think it's probably more like 125, maybe higher. So that's 300 to 400 Americans that die every single day from fentanyl poisoning. That's just fentanyl. 300 to 400 a day in this country dying from fentanyl poisoning. Can you imagine? Maybe higher. But they'll die today and tomorrow and the day after that. And those inside the Beltway do not care. To me, it's an act of war. It is. To me, it's an outright act of war because China is producing the product that goes to Mexico because it's shipped here to poison us. I discussed this with the former president. Here's part of that. Listen. I want to ask you something about China while we're on that topic, if I may. Because China is also the source for the components that create fentanyl that's brought over our border by the cartels that are dangerously in charge of our border. How do you hold China accountable for those illegal drugs flooding in, killing what, 100,000, 125,000? How do you hold China and Mexico, I guess, both accountable for all of those Americans dying and all that poison coming into our country?
Right. They send it through the southern border. So as I said, we had the strongest border in the history of our country. I built 571 miles of wall. We were ready to install another 200 miles. That's much more than I said I was going to build. We're ready to do another 200 miles. We had Mexico giving us a fortune in soldiers. You know, I had 28,000 soldiers, Mexican soldiers. I said, I want you to give us 28,000 soldiers. And you've heard me say it before. Yes. And they gave them to me because they said, if you don't give them to me, I'm going to tax the hell out of your products coming in. So they gave them. I got 28,000 soldiers. And once the wall was built, I mean, it what a difference it made. But we were going to add another 200 miles. China sends fentanyl to Mexico, and it comes through. Most of it comes through the southern border. It was slowing down tremendously under when I had it. And I met with President Xi of China. And he was all set to do it. He was going to do the death penalty in China. You know, they have a death penalty in China for drug dealers and drug manufacturers, illegal drug manufacturers. They don't have a drug problem because they have the death penalty. We don't have the death penalty. If we had the death penalty for drug dealers, you would have no drug problem, just like China, just like Singapore. You have countries that have the death penalty for drug dealers. None of them have any drug problems. Because the penalty is, you know, it's the ultimate penalty, right? None of them have any problems with drugs whatsoever. China has 1.4 billion people. Now, they have a drug problem. They make drugs, and they sell them into the United States. So my deal with him was that he was going to create the death penalty for drug dealers of fentanyl, and that was going to stop. And after that horrible, disgusting result turned out with the election, where we got millions of more votes than I did the first time. Millions. We got more votes than any sitting president ever got. After that happened, she reneged on the deal with the Biden people because they weren't going to force anything. They probably don't even know about the deal. But I had a deal with President Xi that he was going to, you know, they have a very powerful death penalty over there for drug dealers. He was going to put the fentanyl makers into that category. It would have stopped it. It would have stopped it cold. But this administration, just like they did with the Abraham Accords, just like they did with everything else, they don't follow through with anything.
Now, here's something that might surprise you. Here's something that might surprise you about my take on this. That's simply this. I'm not a death penalty supporter as a general rule. But I do have questions for you. What about death penalty for drug kingpins? What are we supporting the importation of fentanyl and knowingly are putting this poison on the streets? How do you feel about that? What do you think about what he said there? Out of line? About right? Not far enough. You tell me. Look, these cartels are making piles of money, pouring poison into the veins of America. Again, 125,000, 300 or 400 more will die today in America. You'll never hear their stories for the most part. You might hear about one kid here or there because they're a college kid and, you know, they came from a better family, if you will. But for most folks, they're just the undercurrent of America, forgotten, abandoned in alleyways and homeless camps and drug dens and never to be heard from again because they disappeared some time ago. But these are real people that are dying in real numbers on the streets of America every single day. Their stories are important. They're American stories. They're more important than people that come here illegally to dump drugs into America. All right, so, shifting gears. What about the EV crisis? You go ahead and send me that comment. Go to stevegruber.com, by the way. Send me emails. Tell me what you think. Don't forget to follow on Twitter, Instagram, Getter, and True Social, of course. And what about the EV crisis and the damage the nation is experiencing from these terrible policies of trying to convert everybody to drive EVs? Listen to this. When you come to Michigan, you were here last fall and you said the EV will be the death of General Motors and Ford. What do you say to Michigan blue-collar workers, to middle-class families that say, look, the EV thing is failing. How do we get America back on track and build again?
So do you ever have things that are so stupid that you don't believe they really are real? There has to be some sinister plot or something, right? Yeah. Well, the people pouring into our country is one. Who would allow prisoners and people from mental institutions, terrorists, to just pour into our country? You would say that's so stupid, it would never happen, but they let it happen. The EV, and I must say, there's nothing more important than what I just said. Millions of people are coming in, and they're world-class criminals. The jails are being emptied out, the mental institutions. There's nothing that's a bigger thing than that. But the EV is another one, at a smaller level, because there's nothing that's so country-threatening as what they're doing to our country with all these criminals coming in. But at a smaller level, the EV is the same thing. I say, who would be so stupid to force people to buy cars that they don't want, that don't go far, that cost too much, and that are all going to be made in China? United Auto Workers is going to be that guy, is that man that made this deal with the United States to allow this to even be talked about, is a criminal. He's going to destroy the United Auto Workers and all auto workers, whether they're United Auto Workers or whether they're auto workers. You're not going to have any cars made in this country, because with the EV mandate, they have all the materials, they have all the everything that's necessary for the batteries, everything else. We don't. They do. What we have is a thing called gasoline. We have more gasoline, we have more oil and gas than any other country. We have more under our beautiful land, and we don't use it. We're getting it now from Venezuela. Can you believe it? These things are not even possible to believe.
Not even possible to believe. I agree with him. Oil from Venezuela? You saw, if you were here yesterday, you heard me have the president of Guyana on, just totally destroy a BBC reporter who tried to question why Guyana is going to sell $150 billion worth of oil that they just discovered. Oh, I don't know, maybe because they're a country that's fairly poor. Oh, and they have the second biggest rainforest in the world, the lowest level of deforestation. You see, they're always talking about how America needs to clean up its act. Then we import oil from Venezuela that does tremendous amounts of damage to the environment. He's exactly right about all of that. Exactly right. Again, send me an email, stevegruber.com, the place to go. Send me an email. Tell me what's on your mind. I'm eager to hear from you. Make sure you follow me on all those social media platforms, Truth Social, Getter, Twitter, or X if you prefer, Instagram, wherever you might be, wherever conversations are important and you can connect with people. We are there every day. Plus, we stream all day long on Twitter. Don't miss it. I'll be back.
Have you been avoiding medical care?
Ugh, I wish my blow dryer was faster.
Why?
The faster I blow dry, the faster we can talk about how Enbridge is investing in renewable energy like wind farms.
Exactly.
Because we're just a married couple in a radio spot letting everyone know they're working to achieve net zero emissions from their business by 2050.
I couldn't have said it better.
It's what we do, Deshaun.
Sarah, it's who we are.
And when this commercial ends,
we say,
Tomorrow is on. Enbridge.
Life takes energy.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people. But anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia.
The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Great high school athletes learn a lot more from playing multiple sports. They improve their hand-eye-foot coordination. They work different muscle groups. They learn from different coaching styles and teammates. They learn the benefits of being the star of one team and the backup who makes the stars shine on another. Be wise. Don't specialize. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Will I always be working weekends just to stay out of debt?
Is a great college for our kids?
Out of the question?
Is the American dream?
Out of our reach?
Not if we can help it. We're the National Endowment for Financial Education, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people just like you get smart about their money. Log on to smartaboutmoney.org today and start taking control of your financial life. Help is closer than you think.
Talk about all the bad oil, this dirty oil that comes from Venezuela, but that's not all. In fact, it's far worse, according to Donald Trump, far worse. Listen.
Venezuela, by the way, is their crime is down 67% because all of their gangs have been moved from Venezuela to the United States of America. The gangs, their prisons are being emptied out, and this is not only Venezuela. All over the world, prisons are being emptied out and they're being deposited into the United States. And also, mental institutions are being emptied out, and some of the most insane people in the world are being dropped into the United States of America. This country has never been in a position like that. Getting back to the electric car, they don't go far. They cost too much. And everybody should be able to buy one if they want one, but you have to get... If you want a regular, nice, beautiful, where you put gasoline in the tank and you can drive for hours and hours and hours and do what you want, which a lot of people want. You know, 5% of the people have electric, five. And that's about what want it. It's probably, you know, that's about probably 5%. What want it.
Yeah.
You can't build the chargers. You know that to build the chargers necessary to do the electric cars would cost more money than the United States has. The United States would go bankrupt. It would cost $5 trillion to build the chargers. You know, they're talking about we're going to build chargers. And we don't have the electric capacity.
We don't.
And by the way, the electric capacity is made through petroleum products, okay?
Yeah.
The whole thing is so crazy. So they're trying to force people, and now what they're doing is spending massive subsidies so that people buy these cars. The United States is spending trillions of dollars so they buy these cars.
So when they get here, right, when they get here from Venezuela or Colombia or China or wherever, where do they go? What happens to them? Well, in El Paso, Texas, the illegals, they all line up and wait for free trips all over the country. Grab a bus. Grab a plane. It's much faster. Listen.
Okay, so where are you guys coming from?
Venezuela.
And you're headed to Orlando?
Orlando.
And you're taking a flight there, airplane? Okay. Thank you. Where are you from? De donde eres?
Colombia.
Colombia? Where are you headed in the United States? Where are you going?
Chicago.
Got you. Hi. De donde eres? Where are you guys coming from?
Ecuador.
Ecuador? Where are you headed to? Where are you going? Which state in the United States?
Orlando? Chicago. Thank you. Are you guys getting on an airplane? No. Thank you.